radio on from Stahlblad in Berlin. We've got some people in the studio here. Now it's a studio, but it was a shop. The subject for today is the hum that apparently is coming from the Temple of Airport nearby. The hum is a very deep frequency sound that people say could cause very serious diseases like cancer and so on. The most famous hum is the Taos hum that you can hear when you're somewhere in Mexico. Mm-hmm. But apparently every town has its own hum. And we've got the Temple of Hum. Seth Kluwet is today's guest for Das Kleine Field Recordings Festival. And before he came to Berlin, I asked him to make some recordings because he's got his special microphones. But first of all, I have to send you special greetings from Eric Leonardson.
Oh, good. Hello, Eric.
Yeah, probably he's listening in Chicago, and that might be a good point to introduce you.
Oh, okay.
How do you know, Eric, what you've got to do with Chicago? Why does nobody here in Berlin have ever heard of you?
Ah, okay. For a long time, I was relatively quiet as far as releasing records is concerned. I toured mostly in the States, and mostly only in the States. So for 6 years, I lived in Boston and sort of got my feet as an improviser and later as a field recordist in that community. Around Baja Brainy and Mike Bullock and Vic Rawlings, mm-hmm. Chris Cooper, Howard Stelzer, Brendan Murray, sort of a running circle for me. And then I toured through Chicago with Jason Talbot and Howard Stelzer duo in 2001 and met up with Eric then. He was teaching at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago in the Sound Arts program. And when I came through on a solo tour the next year, I played a quartet with him and Andrea Poli, who does some nice field recordings mm-hmm. of Arctic conditions and installations based on weather things, and Carol Giannetti, and then another concert in a series across town, and stayed in Eric's loft, which is in one of the nicer parts of town, which he's owned since before it was a nice part of town. and so I've known Eric for some years now. And we share a sort of common interest in sound pedagogy, teaching sound to young students and that sort of thing. Mm. So I've known him since about 2000, 2001.
Yeah, we are also in a nice part of town that soon will be a nice part of town.
Yeah. Every town has those.
We will do some anti-gentrification talks.
Sure.
For our loyal listeners, Radio On's Adrian Shepherd is not here. Ruben Patino is doing the technical part on the computer and window staring. Adrian is somewhere in Bordeaux, I think, sailing
mm-hmm.
with his girlfriend.
It's a good time of year for that.
Yeah. Has this field recording thing ever always been a part of your sonic career, or is it something that you turn to? Wow.
The best way to describe it is I started a photography project. I'm trained as a photographer and also as a composer, but the photography thing came about as sort of a way to occupy my time as I had a really angst-ridden relationship with composition.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to do these walks where I would walk 15 minutes in any direction from my house and sit and listen for some time and then take photographs around where I listened
mm-hmm.
and then walk back home. And so sort of the way I was convincing myself was that I was staring with my eyes and staring with my ears till I heard something that that I cared about. And for a while it was just the environment, whatever, and then I started to listen very specifically to parts within it. So I noticed my photographic eye and my phonographic ear sort of getting themselves more in line until I decided to invest in a recorder and go out and take photographs and recordings at the same time in the same places. And so I sort of came at it from a how do I walk around the area I live in, mm-hmm. and what do I notice when I'm walking, and what do I decide to stop and take a picture of, and then what do I hear that's worth making a recording of, and it was just a way for me to siphon off of my routine some of the objects within a sort of field, perceptual field. So like if I'm going out into the general area, what are the little tidbits that I want to take home with me, and then next time I go back I might not record it, but I hear it and I remember my recording and I make another recording. And then I started to work with photo collage, and then I started collaging my audio recordings. So that's sort of the way that it started, and that's since about 1999.
But the sound was not parallel to the photographic?
Oh, almost never. I wasn't taking a photograph of something I was listening to. I was taking photographs of things that were worth having their photograph taken for me, and then going out with the same purpose and looking and listening for things that I also wanted to make recordings of. And so they could be two very different things in the same environment,
mm-hmm.
but for me, somewhere in the space between the photograph itself of a particular light reflecting off of a pool of water or something, and the hiss coming out of a subway steam
mm-hmm.
vent, and they may be only 6 feet away from one another, and the photograph and the recording are even further away from one another, but somehow the two of them together make up in my mind the environment that they came from. So
uh-huh.
So no attempt to draw any connection at all, and let the ambiguity of the relationship make sense for the listener. More free thing than
did that listening process that you had while walking decide when you had to take your picture?
Sometimes. So, like sometimes I'd be drawn towards something I was listening to, and that would make me stumble on something
mm-hmm.
I'd see, and then maybe the picture's more interesting than what I was walking towards to listen to.
Yeah.
But in a way, my work since then, which is mostly an installation, has been about this process of kind of something about the eye drawing people to a spot at which listening becomes something interesting.
Yeah.
So like a photograph tucked in a corner, and when they get their head towards the corner, sound is installed in the wall in such a way that's the position of viewing is the
yeah.
only place where they can hear the thing in its entirety. So since then I've been working on pieces that are models or versions of the same walking
mm-hmm.
that I do as part of my daily practice, trying to find a way to encourage listeners to walk through a gallery space in such a way that they look and it draws them to something to hear, or they hear something and it brings them to a place where they might discover something to look at.
So of course also very personal, because
yeah.
You capture them in the moment that they know you draw them into the moment where you were listening.
Yeah.
And then they listen to that same moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice, it's nice.
Yeah, and I try to make sure that it's not a coercive thing. I'm not interested in kind of like, we've got 700 years of composition of people composing the way that someone should listen to,
mm-hmm.
like pointing out in the music, via the means of the music, how to listen. And for me, I'm very interested in keeping a really stark separation between how someone gets to the event and the event itself, so that there's more of a discovery as though it were just a big messy room and you discover, it's like a record store like this.
Mm-hmm.
The way that it's organized makes you stumble on something you might have never seen before, and I'm more interested in an open version that's not coercive. Trying, though, I have my own intents, and so maybe I can't always get rid of them. But
now we have to take big steps that will bring you to Berlin.
Sure.
All through your career, I think you didn't work with the same kind of microphone.
Oh no, almost never.
Mm. How was that development?
It started with the mic that everyone in the States seems to use, which is an Audio-Technica AT825, which is a stereo single point mic,
mm.
with a Sony Portadetta. Actually, at the time, it was just a mini disc player, and I was doing weird things with it. I mean, dangling it off bridges and sending it down into manholes and doing, you know, performing with the mic when I'm recording. Then I started vice gripping contact mics to stuff and getting binaural mics and sticking one of the heads of the binaural mic into one place and the other into another place to try to make a dislocated two-channel recording rather than a binaural recording as such. And then I found out about these geophones while looking for how to record glaciers moving. Because for some years I had these sleepover concerts at Pauline.
It's not the one you're using yet, no.
It is the one I'm using.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't able to get one until recently. Mm. About 3 years ago, or no, wait, 2002, 3, and 4, I did 12 to 18 hour sleepover performances at Pauline Oliveros' Deep Listening Space in Kingston that would take a year's worth of geographic data related to the movement of a glacier and map it to sine tones, and then people would sleep with the data of 12 months shrunk to 12 hours, and they just sleep and have the glacier move over them over the course of the day. A totally ridiculous thing.
It's not ridiculous, it's nice.
And it makes for good sleeping, and, but I wanted really to record the glaciers, go up to the Greenland during the thaw and like get the sound of ice scraping over.
How did you do that?
I haven't been able to yet, but I did get a microphone while I was, I've been living in Paris since October with my wife, and
this hill is a result of a glacier.
Oh, well,
from the ice age.
And I think I got a little bit of it with my geophone today. But I wrote a company that made a geophone that whose size was handleable, because they make them that are the size of beer cans, they make them that are the size of small trucks, and they're huge things. But they make a smaller one, and and I asked a person from this company, how much are your geophones? And he said, what are you using it for? And I said, audio recordings, I'm an artist. And he sent me one out of nowhere, just out of nowhere.
What can you record with it? And how do you use it when recording?
There are two different ways I've been using it. One is more effective for daily use, and the other is more like recording over a long period of time and then condensing the recording to bring the super low frequencies up to up to range. But you can set it on just about anything, and it'll pick up a really broad band vibration transduction, much higher resolution than a
so case of disc or contact mic. Yep.
Yeah. And go maybe to full at a flat frequency response up until about 120, 200 hertz maybe. And then after that it takes a dive, but you can, actually the way I got the sound of the Temple Huff hum today, finally, after 2 days of trying, was putting it on a metal wire.
We got to that.
Okay. But I can set it on top of things that vibrate, so stuff that's stuck very deep down in the earth, and I get the low frequencies that way, or I dig a hole and I bury it. And that yields low frequency, long time recordings, and then you have to multiply them in order to get them into the audio range. But
did you come across low frequencies while recording, and how low?
Today I had
no.
In general,
since you had it.
I mean, almost down to like point one hertz. Very very long.
And did could you?
You can see it on a graph, but all it does is hurt speakers.
But would you know where that comes from?
No. I have a feeling that they end up being sort of cancellation frequencies or multiplications of the what happens in the Earth's crust when you have a lot of motion in an urban space. So like the recordings that I have of the Charles de Gaulle Etoile have a lot of activity between in the audible range. But if you cut everything off and you only look at 0 to 5 hertz, you've got a lot of really super low things, and I think that that's just much more about the ebb and flow of the of the sum of the frequencies of the urban vibration. So that's probably, I guess that's it. I guess maybe there could also be some kind of bracken or crazy monster below the Earth's crust that's making it, but
little
I can't confirm.
Eating stones, yeah.
I can't confirm
crunch,
that.
Crunch. Okay. Okay. Then you arrived at Berlin 2 days ago,
yeah.
And maybe from your walks around Tempelhof, you can also give an impression what it looks like and where you went.
Yeah, it's fairly frightening. I mean, for someone like me who grew up very, very rurally in far upstate New York, miles away from neighbors kind of situation in the forest, cities in general, I'm always a bit iffy when I'm walking around. But this, between the bus stops is maybe three quarters of a kilometer almost, and the Tempelhof Field is a good 45-minute walk to walk the length of it. It was the airport up until very recently, but not an airport anymore. The main building on the structure has two parts to it, as far as I can see. One is an old radar tower, and the rest of the building seems to have half of it a conference center, and the other half, the windows are blacked out, and there's a security guard who does circles around the building, who is not very excited about me, who slowed the car down a number of times, and I think almost... my wife warned me while we were out recording, and I quickly looked like I was futzing with my iPod, hoping that I wouldn't get pulled over. But it's across the street from the Polizei, so so it was it's a very stark situation. A big long brick fence, barbed wire, signs that say "Do not enter." All of your objects can be searched and seized, and so
even if you're on the sidewalk.
Yeah. We went in through a cemetery, the cemetery wall, everything is normal cemetery walls for three of their walls, and the fourth wall has every 6 feet these signs that say, don't come any closer to this wall, so, and that's where I got some of the recordings today, so.
So your first recordings were
not
made...
very successful, oh. No, go ahead. First recordings, there's a big wire fence.
I think they were on the Columbia.
Yeah, Columbia Dam.
Yeah.
Starting in where the Flughafenstrasse turns into the Columbia Dome, there's a wire fence, and so I started by, because there's no ground at all to bury, I started placing it on the wire fence, and I got some vibration, and then it went away, but I got some interesting stuff over the course of these 3 minute recordings I was taking, so then I decided to move further down the street. I tried a manhole cover. Some pipes coming up out of the ground, and the pipe yielded something more interesting. And then the fence just across from the radar tower got a good, solid, low frequency. And then I crossed the street, and there's this Columbia House War Memorial that's a giant stainless steel rusted sort of house-like structure. And I put the mic on that because it seemed pretty like it had been buried into the ground as a monument, so it wouldn't tip over. And I got a fairly strong hum. Nothing like I got today. So yesterday, then I just got
yesterday
back on
you
the,
came here, you thought it was today?
Yeah, I thought the concert was yesterday for some reason.
So
and
that
I showed
gained
up
you
already.
Another day.
but it was great, so I got to go out today and make some more recordings. This time I started, if the Tempelhof Field is a big rectangle, and I only went along the long top of the rectangle, today I went down the short side closest to the record shop.
Yeah, if you look on Google Maps, it might be the one that goes parallel with the Hermannstrasse.
Yeah.
And there's a neighborhood immediately confining with it, and there's trees and everything.
Yeah, beautiful. And I found a soccer field that was bordered right up against the there's a bike path in between the soccer field's fence and the Tempelhof Field. And they had two big aluminum pipe fences and one set of park benches that were very thin wire. And the park benches were countersunk into the ground through pillars. When I put the mic on them, I just got like almost peaked levels and no sound in my headphones. So I recorded for 5 minutes the sound at the bench. Two different spots on the bench just to see if it was any different, and then one along the fence or the big aluminum pipes, and it's what I got yesterday was not the hum. What I got today was the hum. Quite a substantial sort of.
What frequency range are we talking about?
Is Wagnerian howl a frequency range? No, it's sort of 16 hertz to 28 hertz mm-hmm. with overtones. So so some audible stuff, which is what I'll play with tonight, and some sub-audible stuff, I think.
Do you have an idea where it might have come from?
No, but the building with the blacked out windows and the security guards is my best guess. I mean, there are giant airplane hangars. There's got to be something to do.
Well,
I mean, it could be as simple as the radar tower.
Do these things work? Because they look like this big golf ball.
Yeah, but it's got a spinning disc on the inside of it, which is creating probably some kind of oscillation, I'd venture to bet. Mark Bain's installations, a guy from the Netherlands, does these things with these wall with a wall with a offset motor, just like a pager motor writ large, and he can shake down a building with that, but it's just a 3-foot disc. Nikolai Tesla almost took down his entire New York research lab with a 7-inch oscillate with a 7-inch oscillator.
How does that work?
He had a big metal tube with a mechanical oscillator with steam pumps that was setting the oscillator going with steam, and it was he found the resonant frequency of the girders of his building, and his biography reads that he turned it off with a sledgehammer. But with something just that small, you get such a substantial vibration. I can imagine that with a DDR radar tower the way it connects to the ground and the spinning of the tower, you might get.
Is it DDR?
I'm not sure,
I
but
think
it's newer than.
It's West Germany.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
They've got perfect acoustics in it.
Oh, good. Is it? Yeah.
They've got reverb and delay.
Yeah.
And you hear your voice outside your head.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Well, you just talk, and if you're in the middle on a platform,
uh-huh.
because there's one at Teufelsberg, there's
uh-huh.
also these big, bigger radar stations,
uh-huh.
and you've got bigger golf balls.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're right in the middle and you talk, your voice comes back because it's completely wrong.
Ah, sure, okay. I see.
Your voice comes
yeah.
back and it ends here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So normally you hear your voice in your head,
right.
but you've got your second voice as you hear my voice now outside your head.
Nice.
And that's very, very wicked and weird.
Nice.
But maybe that's just the result of the structure.
Yeah, it could just be the result of the structure.
And nothing that would help them to create these frequencies.
Uh-huh. I mean, it also could just be a stand. I mean, with a field that large in an area where everything else is built up with concrete. There's no ground exposed almost at all. Even the pavement is these cobblestones. It's possible that that's the only earth that's allowed to oscillate at all. Everything else is dampened. And so, if you can set up a standing frequency between subway trains where it's fixed on the concrete side and subway trains where it's fixed on the concrete side and buses that are going up the long side. You have the potential for an oscillating plane that would cause some pretty substantial standing waves. So, just within the ground. I mean, low, super low, and then anything else is harmonics on top of that. So,
there is theories going on that under Temple of the Earth, this 28 floors, and very deep down,
mm-hmm.
those that's the place where the secret sound would come from.
Ah, sure.
But this. That's down into Earth, but your explanation is
mm-hmm.
more down to Earth.
Yeah. Well, if it's a
just sounds coming together there.
Yeah. If there's a chamber down there that's a resonant chamber, then it's entirely possible that the ground's vibrating with it.
Mm-hmm.
Both are possible.
So what you say is that and U-Bahn and buses and heavy traffic, those frequencies, the how do you call it? Those are frequencies, no?
Yeah, those are frequencies.
They go into the earth and they find themselves in some
mm-hmm.
resonating chamber, and then they get amplified and
mm-hmm.
go out it again and then produce a hum.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it like a guitar string, if you clamp one end and clamp the other end, you'll have a node where the first node is is one expansion of the string, and then it'll vibrate again, and the second node is the second expansion.
Yeah.
And anywhere you clamp that, it's going to create a new area that can vibrate between. So if you've got a concrete area and another concrete area and an area that's not concrete, then the not concrete area is the part that's going to be able to move the most, and the concrete area is the part that's going to be the fixed ends of the string, if you will. That's my best guess at it. But and you can there if you put your hand on the fence, you can feel it vibrating. But that vibration that you're feeling, I'm sure, is a harmonic of some lower, crazy, low oscillation that's happening, because it's certainly not coming from the one that I recorded at the soccer field. Is far enough away from traffic. There's no, like, my previous recordings have the sound of a bus going by, the sound of, you know, the subway going by, but this is like flipping a switch on, and there's a steady state hum, substantial, with, and not electrical. It's not like 50 hertz or 60 hertz. So it's something.
It's something. Yeah, and this something, is there a doctor here? And this something, it says, it's not very good for your health.
I can imagine. Yeah.
So, all those people who want to move to Berlin,
stay away from Temple, huh?
Stay away from Neukölln. This was another anti-come to Neukölln broadcast brought to you from Radio 1. Seth Kluwit here, and Ruben, what's the time?
It's 8:25.
8:25, that's okay. So we will have some dead air for 5 minutes, and then start recording again from 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
And we will hear all these sounds when you play, and that will start around 9:30.
Okay.
You have been listening also to some sounds in the background. That's Evapori sound checking, and he will start playing in 20 minutes or something. Yep.
Thank you, Rufus.
Thank you. So we got a hum.